Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the previous program, we discussed the first step in how God used the Old Covenant to lead us to the New Covenant. Remember that the law, the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone, is synonymous with the Old Covenant. How do we know that? Well, let's turn over to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 13. This is the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 13. There it says, God declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even Ten Commandments, and He wrote them upon two tables of stone. So we see that His covenant was Ten Commandments written upon two tables of stone. To confirm this, let's read in Deuteronomy the ninth chapter, and we'll read through chapter 10, verse 5. This is Deuteronomy the ninth chapter, starting with verse 9, reading all the way through chapter 10 to verse 5. And here it says, When I went to the mountain to receive the tables of stone, and which mountain was this that Moses went to? Well, it was Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. That's where the covenant was made. And it was made between God and the nation of Israel. So, when I, speaking of Moses, went to the mountain to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant, which the Lord made with you, I stayed 40 days and nights without eating or drinking. And the Lord delivered to me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written all the words which the Lord spoke to you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And I put the tables in the ark. And this ark is known as the Ark of the Covenant for a specific reason. What is that reason? Well, because the ark housed or carried the covenant. But again, what was that covenant? Well, it was the two tables of stone. So it says, And I put the tables, the two tables of stone, in the ark of the covenant. As the Lord commanded me. That's what Moses said. The Lord commanded him. So the first step was making mankind aware of sin through the introduction of the law written in black and white, so to speak. This is how the Old Covenant leads us to the New Covenant, by making mankind aware of sin through the introduction of the law. And this is the law written on two tables of stone. So now let's turn over to Romans the fifth chapter, and we'll start reading in verse 12. Romans the fifth chapter, verse 12. And we're going to see the same point again. By one man, sin entered into the world. This man, of course, was Adam. So right at Adam's time, sin entered the world. Please keep that in mind. And it says, death came by sin. Why is that? Well, because God says that the wages of sin is death. So, death came by sin, and so passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now reading in verse 13 of Romans 5. For until the law... Now wait a minute. Did you hear that statement? For until the law? So that means that there was a time when the law was not. Because it says, for until the law. And we're going to find out when the law was not. For until the law, sin was in the world. But how could that be that sin was in the world if the law was not in the world, because the law defined sin? Well, let's go on, because Paul is going to teach us. It says again, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Romans 5 verse 14. Nevertheless, even though sin is not imputed when there is no law, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So here's a period of time that God defines, that is from Adam to Moses. That was the period of time when death reigned. That is the same period of time when the law was not in the world, from Adam to Moses. And it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned in the same manner of Adam's transgression." So what is the manner of Adam's transgression? Well, Adam and Eve sinned even though they knew God's law, because God had revealed it to them directly. But then after Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the law was no longer directly revealed to people. So the law wasn't in the world. So therefore people did not sin in the same manner of Adam, because they sinned in ignorance of the law, whereas Adam and Eve sinned knowing the law. And now let's drop down to Romans 5, verse 20. It says, "Moreover, the law entered." There we have it again. The law entered, which means that at some time it wasn't there. "Moreover, the law entered," and it says, "for a specific reason." Why is that reason? "That the offense might abound." This is why the law entered, that the offense might abound. Now, what does that mean, that the offense might abound? Well, again, the law entered so that people would know very clearly what their sins were. That's how the offense abounded, because people became aware of their sin, so it became abundantly clear. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, because God obviously forgave us of all of our sins. So that's also the meaning we see in Galatians 3, verse 19, where it says, "The law was added because of transgressions." That's in Galatians 3, verse 19, where it says, "The law was added because of transgressions." And Paul is clearly talking about, again, the Old Covenant, the Ten Commandments given on two tables of stone. This is the law he refers to when he says the law was added because of transgressions, because God wanted to make transgressions abundantly clear. Now, there are two other testimonies that I'd like you to hear that proves this same point. The first one surrounds Jesus, and the second involves Paul. Jesus, as he was about to be crucified, tells his disciples, "These things I command you, that you love one another. Because you are not of this world, the world hates you. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they don't know him that sent me." Now listen to this next statement here, because this shows the same principle about the law entering so that the offense might abound, the law entering for the sake of transgressions, to make these transgressions known. The same principle here. It says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be aware of their sins. But now, since I have come and spoken to them, they have no cloak or no covering for their sin." In other words, their sin is exposed. Their sin becomes abundantly clear. Why? Because Jesus spoke to them in black and white. He spoke to them very clearly about their sins. Same principle with the law. When the law is added, it's added because of transgressions, to make those transgressions clear. And that scripture I read was in John 15, verses 17 through 22. That's John 15, verses 17 through 22. Now, we have already seen that sin was in the world since Adam's time. So this scripture simply means that prior to Jesus' ministry, people didn't have their sin counted against them in the same way as they did after Jesus came and revealed the true righteousness of the law by his words and deeds. Because Jesus magnified the law. In fact, he magnified it so much so that he stripped away all cloaks for sin. Now let's go on to the example of Paul. Paul, of course, before he was converted, his name was Saul. And Saul, an Israelite who was well versed in Judaism, he persecuted Christ. But after Saul's conversion to Christianity, his name was changed to Paul. Paul proclaims the goodness of the law because through the law he knew what sin was. But notice this interesting comment. Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. That's in Romans chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. But how is this explained? Okay, here it goes. As Saul, before he was converted, he was following the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. Again, he was a Jew, or actually he was a Benjaminite, who was well versed in Judaism. Okay, so he was following the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone, and he thought he was alive and well by God, but he was not. He was without the spiritual understanding of the law. When he was converted, he became Paul. As Paul, God magnified the law to him and revealed its spiritual nature. That's when sin revived, because Paul now saw himself through God's eyes. With God in him through the Holy Spirit, he was no longer deceived into thinking his righteousness came by the law. He now understood that death came by the law, because sin is the transgression of the law. That's 1 John 3 verse 4. And the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6 verse 23. So let's read this again. Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once." He was alive while he was keeping the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. But when the commandment came, this is the deeper revelation of the commandment that Christ came to reveal. When the commandment came, this true spiritual aspect of keeping of the commandments, when the commandment came, sin revived, because now he saw sin in a new light. It wasn't just the letter of the law, now it was the spirit of the law. So sin revived, and it killed him all over again, because he saw his sin very clearly. Alright, so hopefully that makes it very clear what Paul was saying. Now continuing in Romans chapter 7 verse 12, Paul surmises, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." But why does he say this? Well, because the law did for Paul exactly what God intended it to do. And what did God intend for the law to do? Well, the answer can be found in Romans chapter 7 verse 13. "Was then that which is good made death to me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worked death in me by that good law." Let me repeat that. "But sin, that it might appear sin, worked death in me by that good law, so that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." So you see, my friends, at this point, when God was in him through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when Paul reached the highest level of the awareness of sin. So the first step in how God used the old covenant to lead us to the new covenant was by making our sins abundantly clear through the introduction of the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. In our next program, I'm going to show you the second step in the journey from the old covenant to the new covenant. Thanks for joining me on this program. May God be in you.